Let's now attend to God's Word. I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 6, beginning verse 13 to the end of the chapter. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 through 20. This is the Word of God. Let us hear it. For when God made promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee." And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord bless his word to our hearing. Indeed, Lord, we pray that thou would bring up and bring out the truth concerning this, and how very important a word it is for us to grab hold of and to embrace now and all the days of our life here on earth. For we know in heaven, hope is no more, for then our hope is realized. So we pray, Heavenly Father, be with us now, in his name. Amen. I want to remind you of a scripture in another place, found in 1 Peter 4, verse 12. You don't have to turn to that. It's only one verse I want to remind you. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice. Well, of course, the Lord is talking about the opposition that comes from the world. He's talking about what they used to be, unbelievers themselves, and practicing the ways of unbelief, opposed to everything godly and good, walking in sin and shameful life. And then when they changed, they were converted, their friends and family and neighbors and what have you came against them, and they found that they were reproached for Christ's sake, and they found that there was all kinds of obnoxious behavior set against them because they had changed. Their lives were new. They were born again. And of course, that's just one of the many things that we suffer in this life. We suffer all kinds of setbacks, all kinds of troubles, all kinds of things that come from spiritual challenges. We're suffering now from the threat of a disease and the misinformation and all the hype and fear that comes along with it from the culture. There's all kinds of struggles that come our way and all kinds of troubles in this life that we experience, and Christians are not exempt from any one of them, right? We're surrounded by them, and also from within our own sin and our own pride and arrogance and opinions and all that come against us. The decisions we make, the purposes we have in our lives sometimes are wrong. And so we have all these challenges and all this these trials, if you will. And some of these trials are very fiery. You know, as Peter points out, these, do not think it's a strange thing when you suffer fiery trials. You know, temptations and troubles. Not only because of your faith for sure, but also just in life and living. And so the writer of Hebrews here is talking about at the end of this chapter in verses 19 and 20, actually even in verse 18, we have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. He uses the anchor of the soul. Hope is as an anchor, and that's what I want to speak on. It brings to mind a ship, right? A boat or a ship that uses an anchor, right? That's where. How we become familiar with anchors, usually they're used on ships. We have anchors for other things too, but that's what comes to mind, and that's what's in the mind here and the illustration. It's a ship that's on a journey, right? A ship sets out, and it's on a voyage, and a voyage has a destination to it. And along the way, it meets with some trouble at sea, right? Sometimes the waters are choppy. Sometimes they're really wavy. Sometimes there's a storm that comes up and it really tosses the ship or certainly the boat to and fro. And so when it comes towards its end, towards its destination, it drops anchor, right? So that it doesn't drift off. Sometimes it has to drop anchor where it hasn't arrived at its destination. It drops anchor so that it's not shoved off to, because of the storm, shoved off into the jagged rocks or the shore or something like that. So an anchor is used to help the ship or the boat reach its destination safely. Now the picture of an earthly anchor is for us to consider in a spiritual way, because we are set on a journey too as pilgrims. We're called pilgrims. And as pilgrims, we're set on a journey. And our journey is to reach heaven. And as I said, hope doesn't exist in heaven. No hope in heaven, because hope is realized there. You don't hope for something you already have. But we do hope to reach heaven now. And in order to sail well, if you will, or to travel well, or to reach our destination, we need to use hope as an anchor to safeguard us on our journey, on our pilgrim journey through the stormy sea of this world. And I know that I myself, when I first became a Christian, and even fairly into it, years into it, there was not much talk about hope. Yeah, I heard about it. We've all heard about faith, hope, and love from the great chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, which is the chapter on love, which talks about faith, hope, and love. And love
lasting forever. Faith leaves, hope leaves, but love lasts forever. But have you heard much or have you utilized this concept, this idea of hope as an anchor for your life? Have you heard many sermons, many teachings, have had many devotions on hope as an anchor? You know what that means? So that's what I want to speak on. I want to speak on our pilgrim journey a little bit more. I want to speak on this hope as being sure and steadfast in verse 19. This hope as an anchor of the soul is sure and steadfast. There's three ways to talk about that. And then I want to talk about this hope that we have, and that will apply in every situation of life and bring us to port in just a little while. But first, let's talk about ships. Ships and anchors. Okay. This comparison between earthly ships and our spiritual life as pilgrims is brought to a pointed focus with the use of the word anchor. What is an anchor? Well, I know what I think of when I hear the word anchor. I think of a heavy metal shaft with hooks on it that is dropped into the water and falls to the bed of the sea or the lake or the river or whatever. It falls to the bed of the sea, and there it stabilizes and secures the boat or the ship in that bed. And it prevents it from drifting off to the shore or, worse, going to the jagged rocks and getting destroyed. Similarly, Jehovah's anchor for the soul gives us safety and security. It stabilizes us. That's what hope is supposed to do in this world, in this sinful world. In this world that's full of storms, trials, tribulations, temptations, sufferings, what have you. Hope. Have you been using your hope during this crisis? Have you been using your hope on a daily basis in your life when things don't go right and go your way? What is your... How do you address yourself? How do you address your day? What do you do to address your day? Or is it just routine for you? The hope that we have been given here and the illustration that's being used as a hope as an anchor needs to be appreciated. Think of it in this way. The hope that the Bible speaks of is different than the hope which the world speaks of. Very much different. We all know about hope. We all have hopes and aspirations for our children. That's not biblical. The hope that we have needs to be biblical. The world has hope, and we chime in with a hope that's similar, but that's not what the Bible's talking about. The hope that the Bible's talking about in another place is called the resurrection hope. That's not what the world is talking about. That's not what hope, the way hope is used by many people every single day, including Christians. Here it's talked about as an anchor, spoken about as an anchor. But there's a difference. There's a difference between the world's anchor or earthly anchor and the heavenly anchor, an anchor for the soul. Well, what's the difference? Well, two things come to mind immediately. The hope that is, or the anchor that is used by the world, is dropped into the sea, is dropped and falls where? Down. The hope which the Bible is speaking of goes up. It's totally opposite of the hope that you and I are used to using in our daily lives, perhaps, like the world does. The world uses hope like an anchor that drops down. The Bible talks about the hope for the soul, the anchor of the soul, which goes up. Right? We hope for heaven. So it's an upward thing. And unlike the earthly anchors that cannot be seen, right? Once you drop them into the sea, they go into the water and you can't see them. This hope, from what it says here in verse 19, this hope for the soul, which goes up, enters into that within the veil. In other words, it enters into the Holy of Holies place where Jesus Christ is found, and it reveals to us heavenly things, heavenly truths. It doesn't disappear into the deep, but rather it expands into a heavenly vista. Something the world knows little to nothing about, but you, if you're using your hope as an anchor, you're using your hope properly, begin to see differently. You don't think like they do anymore. You're not supposed to. I mean about cars and trucks and buildings and heaters and air conditioning and stuff like that. Yeah, there's, you know, we're not talking about that. We're talking about things that really matter. Hope. People have hope. Life is nothing without hope. Hope for the future. Hope for the day. Hope in times of trouble. Hope in sickness. Hope in sorrow. You know, hope in life. If you use it in the world's way, you're going to be going down. If you use hope as an anchor of the soul, for the soul, you're going to be looking up. Do you see the difference? I'm sure you do. And this is like a no-brainer. Let's face it. As long as we're here, we're going to have troubles. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be trials. There's going to be temptations. There's going to be all kinds of things. And if we're not engaged in using hope as an anchor for our soul, we're going to be tossed to and fro. I'm not tossed by the crisis. I'm not tossed around. I don't fear. Why? Because I'm better? Because nothing's going to hurt me or touch me? No. Of
Because I depend upon, I look to God. He's going to give me what I need. All I need to live here, and if not, in heaven. Win-win. Always a win-win. Never a loss. Using hope as an anchor for my soul. My soul is what matters. Which matters more to you? Body or soul? We all know the answer to that. We all realize this. We forget. We lose track sometimes. We lose perspective. Why? Well, because of troubles, because of setbacks, because of sufferings, because of losses, because of this, because of that, we lose our perspective. We lose our spiritual mind for a moment, maybe for longer, till we come back. But this is what hope is. Hope as an anchor for your soul. Are you in distress? Are you in trouble? Are you sad? Have things happened to you or are happening to you that really have crippled you? Brother, sister, hope is the answer. Hope. Not in man that he's going to change. Not in this woman or this man that they're going to change, but in God that never changes. I know we lose it sometimes. I do. Let's get it back. It says that this anchor, for this anchor, which is hope as an anchor, is both sure and steadfast. Right? Sure and steadfast. As I said, it's different from earthly hope. Earthly hope yearns and longs for this and that to happen, with always the caveat, maybe. Never could be certain about the future, right? Maybe. But the hope, which is here used in Hebrews and elsewhere in the Bible, is a certain hope. It cannot fail. In another place, as I said, it's a hope in the resurrection. Did Jesus rise from the dead? Did Jesus rise from the grave? Do you believe that Jesus rose from the grave? Well, that same spirit that lifted up Christ from the grave after 3 days in the tomb is in you now. How can you possibly fear and be anxious and be unraveled like the world is over whatever? Now, I know, don't think that I don't get unraveled and I don't get fear and I don't get anxious. We all do. But it's wrong. Right? Jesus said, do not fret. Do not even fret if you don't have food or clothes or a house to live in. They're coming to take away your house to foreclose on it because you can't pay, which has not happened to anyone here. But it has happened to people that we know, right? Could happen to you, doubtful, but it could. What are you going to do then? You're going to get all upset and unraveled, aren't you? I would too. But we're not supposed to. Right? Fret over nothing. Be anxious over nothing. Hope is how we discover what Jesus was talking about. (Clears throat) You know why our hope is so certain? Because it comes from the Spirit. Our hope doesn't come from this world or from the promises of men and women, boys and girls, right? It doesn't come from the politicians or the scientists or the educators or any of these people. Our hope comes from the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Do you see the difference? You see the difference. I know you do. It's clear as a bell to you. Because you're the people of God, right? You know this. Our hope doesn't come from the earth. It comes from God. Well, why is it sure and steadfast? Well, first, it's sure and steadfast because of its foundation. What is the foundation for our hope? What is the foundation for looking up and looking heavenward and all that? What is the foundation? The foundation is the work of Jesus Christ. The ground of it is the cross. That's why it's sure and steadfast, because of the cross. That is an historical event that happened. Everybody knows it. Even the unbelievers know it. Jesus was an historical figure, and he did die on the cross. He was crucified. Almost 2,000 years ago. It's a historical event. So our hope is sure and steadfast because of the work of Jesus on the cross. And that work of Jesus on the cross is for whom? For us. For the chosen. For those who are elect and precious to God. Can't fail. So that's the first reason why the writer says hope as an anchor, or anchor for our soul or of our soul, is sure and steadfast because of the foundation, because of the ground, because of the work of Jesus Christ that he accomplished, historically accomplished, by the way, on the cross for us. And the second reason why this hope is sure and steadfast is because of the object. The object is Jesus, right? What does the name Jesus mean? Do you remember? I've mentioned this a number of times from the pulpit. Jesus, the name Jesus means Jehovah's salvation, or Jehovah's possessive salvation. Jesus, his name means Savior. Jesus came from heaven to save his people from their sins. That's why he came, to save his people from their sins. So the writer's saying here, it's sure and steadfast, not only because of the ground, which is the cross, the foundation, which is the cross, the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, but also because of the object itself. Jesus, the word, the name, means Savior. It means salvation. That's why he came. And certainly, it's going to take place because God doesn't go back on his word. God doesn't go back on his promise. God's faithful to his promises. You know, and I know, that man is not, right? We make promises. We, you know, say for certain things, and then later on we don't do it, or we take it back. But God can't do that, or else he's a liar. Then he's not God. He's just another figment of man's imagination. It's another idol. So the God of salvation, who sent his son to save a people from their sin, has to happen. So it's the object as well. And then in the third place, and this is interesting, he calls it sure and steadfast because of the guaranteed end and victory, as one commentator put it. In Jesus Christ, we believers are absolutely safe and secure. And you know what does that for us here in this context? The word
that's found in verse 20. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. That word forerunner. Do you know what that means? Well, you probably would not know what this one means because it's the only time it's used in the entire Bible. This word is only used once. This word forerunner. Yeah, we use John the Baptist as a forerunner, announcing, but he's a herald and all that. It's not the same word. This word is only used here. And what's it referring to? Very interesting thing. It's a mariner's term. It's a shipping term, right? We have anchor here. We have forerunner as a shipping term. What was a forerunner? What is a forerunner? You ever heard of it? A forerunner is a little boat that goes ahead of a much larger boat or a ship. You might think of a tugboat or something like that, but it's a little boat. And when a big ship or big boat is entering into a harbor, into the place where the harbor is, there's maybe a low tide and there's a sandbar not too far below the water now because the tide is gone out, right? The water's gone out, so it's low tide, or however they term that. The water is low. So what they did was they used a ship called a forerunner to go before the large ship into the port. And that forerunner, that little ship, was carrying the anchor for the large ship into that port. And when it came into the port and it was safe, it dropped anchor for the large ship. So that when the water, when the tide came in and the water's levels rose, the ship could now guide itself by its own anchor safely into the port of harbor. The forerunner was therefore also a pledge that ship, that big ship, was going to land safely into the dock, into the harbor. That's the idea here, that Jesus went first into the harbor of heaven, if you will, into the Holy of Holies. He entered into the veil as a forerunner, as the first one in. And then as a pledge for us that we are going to follow. We are going to come safe into port. The forerunner's first and guides us safely into port by dropping anchor in port for us. That anchor is hope. Get the picture? It's beautiful. You possibly couldn't see this unless you get into the Greek and into commentaries and all that stuff. It's not clear what's being said here, but that is what's being said. That's exactly what's being said. That's why he calls it sure and steadfast. Jesus, forerunner, went in first, dropped anchor for us. Our anchor is our hope that the Holy Spirit gives us. And we move safely into port like that. And then this it's sure and steadfast hope of our eternal glorification and safe arrival in heaven. What does that give us in this world? It gives us peace and confidence on our journey through this stormy sea of life, right? And it gives it to us in three ways, right? So the first, it's steadfast, it's sure, it gives us peace and confidence because hope, remember the hope that we're talking about, that the Bible's talking about, looks up. What happens to you when something bad takes place in your life. You have a setback. Things don't go your way. You suffer reproach for Christ's sake. People oppose you. Whatever it may be, what happens? What do you do? What do you and I do initially? We look down. Become downcast. We become discouraged. Stressed out. We're distressed. Sometimes if we're a little bit better than that, emotionally, we look horizontally at the problem. How to solve it, what the problem is, this problem, that, you know, but we're looking horizontally. Hope looks up. It looks up. And what does it see when it looks up? It sees our glorification, our heaven's existence. It looks as everything is perfect and sees perfection. It sees when we're going to be with our family and the friends that went before us. They're there, kind of waiting in a way. It sees angels, saints made perfect. It looks up, always up. That's what hope as an anchor, but looking upward all the time, no matter what it is. And it gives us peace, it gives us confidence, it gives us courage to face what's happening. This does not define me. What's going on here? Yeah, I've got to deal with it. We have to deal with it. We have to be practical. And there's nothing, you know, no one's saying that, right? That you don't be practiced pie in the sky kind of thing. Always look up, watch yourself, right? No. Clearly, we have to deal with things, but that's not the issue. We deal with them, but we deal with them in calm. We deal with them in confidence, knowing that this is from God. And God's going to get me through because my journey is there, not here. This is not my home. Ever. It's never been your home. And never will be your home. It's there. Also, this hope giving us confidence and peace and certainty not only looks up, but it lifts us up, right? We're already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are already found in Christ in heaven. That's where our home is. That's where our heart is. And yes, that's where our soul is going, which is the most important part of us, right? If I can say it that way. Your most important part is not your body. It's not your face. It's not your looks. It's not your charm. It's not you. Except your soul. That's the most important thing. That's what matters the most. And your soul is destined for glory. It lifts you up above the situation, above the problem. Not so much so that you don't deal with it, but it lifts you up in attitude and perspective. You have a heavenly mindedness now. Not only looks up, it lifts up. And the third reason why this is so magnificent and brings peace is it brings calm and still into your life as you wait upon the Lord. Your patience. Dr. Stanley was talking this morning about how God gives us patience. He tells us many times throughout the scripture to wait upon Him, to be patient in the Lord. He is going to see you through this. Whatever the situation, I know it sounds easy to say, but that's the reality, the spiritual reality.
you will get through this. You will be lifted up to heavenly places. And it ushers in a joy unspeakable. And that's what the psalmist was talking about in Psalm 46. He was looking to God when all the trouble was surrounding him and the difficulties of life he was engaged in. He wrote this psalm. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and our strength, our ever-present aid, and therefore, though the earth remove, we shall not be afraid. Can you imagine that? The earth is crumbling around you. I mean, we're not even close to that in what's happened in our society in this last year, right? We're not even close to that, and all these people are afraid. Are you afraid? I hope you're not afraid. There's nothing to fear. Really isn't. Though hills amidst the sea be cast, though foaming waters roar, yea, though the mighty billows shake, the mountains on the shore, be still and know that I am God, over all exalted high. The subject nations of the earth my name shall glorify. The Lord of hosts is on our side, our safety to secure. The God of Jacob is for us, a refuge, strong and sure. You know, your hope is, may I put it crassly? You know your hope is working when you have calm and peace and security amidst the storm. This is the blessedness of hope that works calm and stills the soul in times of trouble. Brothers and sisters, this is the time of trouble. This, now. It's not one thing, it's going to be another. It's not COVID-19, it's going to be COVID-21 or 31 or 41. If it's not the President Trump, it's President Biden. If it's not President Biden, it's the next one, whatever. If it's not this Congress, it's the next Congress. Whatever it is, whatever the trouble is. How do we gain any kind of perspective? We don't look out. We don't look down. We look up. Our hope is in the Lord, and that brings our calm and peace for the day. The day's full of trouble. But my soul, your soul, secure forever. You are in the hands of Jesus. You're right there in his hands. Nothing can take you out of those hands. Nothing can remove you. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, bless us on our way. We need this. We need to hear more of this. We need to meditate upon this because, you know, the days of trouble. There's all kinds of troubles happening in our lives on a national level, a church level, and even on a personal level. All these things in concert come together, but we are to take courage, take strength. We are to hope as an anchor of our souls, sure and steadfast, which enters into the veil of heaven itself, the promise that where he is, we shall be someday as well, is certainly a very calming and precious promise to our souls. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.